right, so we got hour number two. Welcome back. Or good afternoon, or good morning, or good evening, or wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Personally, I am live in real time in Southern California, where I was born and raised and still live and work. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So if you've watched this show on CBS Sports Network, you know my setup. It's me at a big white desk with a few monitors behind me. And then what you don't see is to my right up above, I have several other monitors where I'm watching several other things, including Major League Baseball, because the big head James Kelly is in today, because Alvin DeLauro is not in today. It's a Thursday. Big Head and I were talking about how great it is to have postseason baseball going on in the morning. And we can watch that and monitor that while we're doing this show. Code for gamble in the morning. Get down. To quote James Kelly,
it's great, boss. It's like March Madness.
Except it's like October Madness. So what's October mean to everybody? A different thing, right? I'm not a big birthday guy. Especially I find as you get older, birthdays are not as cool, right? So to me and old man Ike here, it's our birthday month. You think October, you think Hawk and Sober October. You think October and you think James Kelly, Major League Baseball gambling in the morning.
It's good to have some action in the morning, boss.
It is if you're you, Kelly, because he's almost never wrong. Dear Jim, Mick Ultra, man, here we go again. Hey, and for the record, do you know a rep for Mick Ultra did reach out to us?
Michelob Ultra Pure Gold.
It's a thing now. I mean, they're not a sponsor. That, and they're solid folks, right? And the product's fine. I'm not a huge light beer guy, but it's fine. I'll give you an example. Brooks Koepka, a guy that I have immense respect for, big Mick Ultra guy. Am I mistaken in thinking this isn't Jimmy Buckets, a Mick Ultra guy? Anyway, they've gotten enough free advertising without you clones dragging them into this. Dear Jim, Mick Ultra is 4.2% alcohol. 4.2 is really strong. I average about 3.1. And I've been in the league for 40 years, signed Frank Gore. Kind of an
Michelob
idiot would said
Ultra,
that. Oh, Brenton Bugahov, of course. Can I tell you something? I was watching Frank Gore over the weekend. Dude, no lie. My man still runs hard. Runs hard. And as far as Mick Ultra goes, now you're done. Here's the thing about this program. It costs money to advertise on this program. There are no free mentions on this program. You've done enough. They've gotten enough free advertising from me. That's the last mention. Unless somebody wants to come with their checkbook. And then we can talk about it all you want. I'm open to that discussion. 1-800-636-8686. Did you hear Aaron Rodgers on the show yesterday? Apparently, Parody Larry did. He wants to update his catalog with the newest Aaron Rodgers hit. Yeah, Larry, I'll get right to you. Just stay there, Larry. I'll get right to you, honestly. All right, so I want to pay attention to something for a minute, and I want all of you to pay attention to it as well. I've got an honest question for you clones. Normally, I'm the one that provides the answers. And if I don't have the answers, I know where to find the answers. And that's not by going to you clones, believe me. But I am going to pose a question to you clones this one time. Because I'm honestly baffled by this. And never confuse the callers and those on social media with the listeners. There's a really big difference, right? How many of you listening right now would say, hey, Rome, I've never called you and I probably never will. No offense, I'm just not about that, but I do like the show. Or how many of you think to yourself, man, I'm not about Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or TikTok or any social media platform. I would never reach out to you that way, Rome. Passive listeners, people that like the show but don't interact directly with the show. I mean, I would say that our research suggests that that's like 99% of the audience. So all these people that you hear, I think you falsely assume that this is what the audience is. It's not. It's the 1% that are actively participating. I'm reaching out to the other 99% because I have a question and I'm honestly baffled and I need your help. I need you to help me work through this. Help me work through how this happened because I'm having trouble processing it. Here is the question. How bad do you have to be at the game of football to be an underdog to the New York Jets? Serious question. How bad do you have to be at football to be an underdog to the Jets? What has had to happen in your season that the odds makers have the New York Jets as a betting favorite over your team tonight? And yes, it is a real thing. It's not a joke I'm setting up. There is no punchline. The Jets are actually, something Logan would say, my younger son, actually, I like it when it actually can be a question or a statement of fact. Like, actually, well, no, the Jets are actually a 1-point favorite when they host Denver tonight on Thursday Night Football. I mean, honestly, I could not believe my gazes when I woke up this morning and I saw it. I was like, I mean, this can't be real, right? Speaking of the big head, I actually had to text him to see if he saw the same thing. Because he's up early, and I know he looks for that sort of thing. I literally cannot remember a betting line that I was so shocked about, and I mean ever. The J-E-T-S, Jets, 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 are actually favored to win a football game in 2020. Gotta be kidding me with that. This is the same team who just lost by 29 points to the Colts, right? The same team that got picked sixth twice in that game, right? The same Jets team that I've watched this season that cannot throw the football, cannot run the football, cannot block, cannot cover, cannot tackle. That team, these guys, they're favored against another NFL team in primetime. How? They're arguably not only the worst team in all of football, they might be the worst Jets team ever. And you know that's saying something. So how the hell did we get here? Especially given the Broncos having some modicum of talent. And yes, I believe that's the first time I've ever used that word on this show. But how did we get here? I'll tell you how. Injuries. Injuries. There are injury issues. And then there's your 2020 Denver Broncos. And nobody wants to hear about the injuries. Nobody wants to use that as an excuse. But if you're an underdog against the Jets, you're probably banged the hell up. Check this injury report for the Broncos this year. Von Miller, the team's best player, IR. A.J. Boye, the team's best cornerback, IR. Cortland Sutton, the team's best wideout, IR. Mark Barron, IR. This week, Jarrell Casey and their starting right tackle, Elijah Wilkinson, also placed on IR. The Broncos have about $62.5 million on their injured reserve list right now. And they don't have their quarterback, Drew Locke, which has led to some pretty horrible backup play. He's been out since week one. Philip Lindsay may play, but he's also been banged up. So the Broncos are going to be missing a minimum of a half a dozen starting players tonight. They are so beaten up. They're so banged up that their head coach does not even know who he's got left on his own roster. Like, the guy literally thinks that he's running Mark Rippon out at quarterback tonight.
Yeah, we're going to start Mark. Brett. I keep calling him Mark at times because of his uncle.
We're going to start Mark. Jay Schrader. We have a lot of confidence in Doug Williams. Sonny Jurgensen's been getting all the first team reps. Billy Kilmer throws a really nice ball.
We're going to start Mark. Brett.
Just kidding, Victor. Look, I know Rippon is starting because there's no way you're going to put a guy named Jeff Driscoll under center, right? I wonder if Virgil even knows who Driscoll is or that he's on their payroll. Actually, now that I'm talking about this out loud, I can see why all those reports about Adam Gase and his job might be at stake tonight. Never mind again that the owner was calling him a, quote, brilliant offensive mind like 2.5 weeks ago. there is the thought and the speculation that even though the offseason's so jacked up and we're in the midst of a pandemic, that if they get blown out again tonight, that that might be the end of Adam Gase. You better win this one, Eyes. You have to beat this team. You know why? Because, one, you're 0-3. You've been blown out in every single game. You're not competitive at all. But that aside, you will never, ever, ever be favored to beat anyone else ever again unless they allow you to start scheduling Division III programs in college football. So, yeah, old crazy eyes, you're on the hottest of hot seats right now. Can you imagine how jacked up those peepers are going to look tonight with the amount of heat that this guy's got on his backside? I mean, I'm talking popping, yo.
Yo.
The late, great Rashea Caldwell will be watching from up above, I'm sure. I'm still kind of shocked the Jets are favorites. I mean, honestly, I don't know how or if I would participate in something like that. I don't know how I would partake. Maybe that's why I got down. James Kelly got down on some baseball this morning because there's no way you want to find a way or figure out a way to get involved in tonight's game. I mean, the Jets are favored, but there's a reason why they're favored. I don't know. I don't know that. I don't know what I'm going to do with that game tonight. I know this. I know that if they didn't pay me, there's no way in hell I'd watch that game tonight. But I also know one more thing. Eyes. Eyes. I'm sure about this. You better win this game, Eyes. Coach them up, Eyes. J-E-T-S. Jets. Jets. Jets minus one. Never thought that I would say that. Everybody, all at once. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets minus one. Are you kidding me about that? If something seems too good to be true. But then again, you know, I was thinking that when the Chiefs played the Ravens. I was thinking that when I saw, man, Baltimore plus three, or I should say KC plus three. Wow. Too good to be true. No, it wasn't. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets minus one. Wow. What are you going to do with that game tonight, y'all? Are you going to watch that game? Are you going to hit that game? Do you think the Jets win that game? How do you think that goes? And who are the Broncos going to start? Does Virgil really think that Driscoll is going to get some reps? 1-800-636-8686. Game one of the NBA Finals in the books. Major League Baseball postseason underway. A Thursday night matchup. Some really good Sunday matchups in the NFL. Got an incredible episode of the Jim Rome podcast starring Mark Mattson, which I want to preview. Conor McGregor is doing Conor McGregor type things, and that's not good. It used to be the best thing ever. Conor used to be the best thing ever. But now Conor's making noise about boxing again. I've got that story. I don't like that either at all. And we'll get to that. Let's go to the phones. Oh, there's Parody Larry. Apparently he's got his latest Aaron Rodgers hit. We go to, not him. It's got to be somebody better, right? Got to be. Also, quick heads up. I've got Sam Amick coming up next segment. I've got Manny Diaz, the head football coach of the U, Miami Hurricanes, coming up in hour number three. Let's go to Matt in L.A. Get him in before the break. What's up, Matt?
Vesta Mac. Hey, like two hands on a double D rack. Your boy Matt in L.A. is feeling it. What's popping, pimp? From Figueroa to Laurel Canyon. From Ventura to Baja, California, you're welcome. In 2020, the year of Kobe Bean Bryant, the year of the Dove Double, do not attempt to adjust your radio dial. Because even if you change your TV channel from the CBS Sports Net worldwide, L.A. is taking over this mother scratcher. The Lakers brought a nice, swift ass kicking in game one and looked
at... That's not a good call.
Matt.
No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a
Matt.
Very good call.
It took a minute to sink in. And I didn't pick up on it right away. Like, I was, no offense, I was kind of half listening and half thinking about something I had to do. That'll happen to a host once in a while. Did you start that call by saying, it's like having two hands on a double D rack? Was that the exact line?
Like two hands on a double D rack. Your boy Matt in LA's feeling it.
Oh, your boy Matt in LA's feeling it. It's like two hands on a double D rack, and your boy Matt in LA is feeling it.
Like two hands on a double D rack. Your boy Matt in LA's feeling it.
Yeah, dude, that's not all right. If I allow that, who's the next guy to come in, and what do they say if that's allowed? Yo, brother, take your verbal groping somewhere else. It's got to be a local LA show that would encourage that.
Like two hands on a double D rack, your boy Matt in LA's feeling it.
Yeah, my boy Matt in LA. Dude, I've heard you start a lot of calls in a lot of different ways. But how the hell do you start that call that way on this show with this host? Come on, bro. Jello testicle, can't believe you went there. Come on, Matt. That's not going to work. When we return. Go ahead and react to that any way you want. I'm not saying that's ban worthy. I'm saying you're moving that way, though, dude. I'm telling you, when it goes fast. Ask Slarome. Nothing is forever. Sam Amick joins me when we return.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Top of the hour, I've got the head football coach at Miami, Manny Diaz. We already had Indianapolis Colts defensive end, Forrest Buckner. I gave you my thoughts on game one. Joining us right now is somebody who's got a definite point of view. He's right there. He knows. He's a senior NBA writer for The Athletic, host of the Tampering Podcast. Last time I chatted him up, he was poolside. So now that we're into the finals, I'm not sure if he's still there. Let's find out. Sam Amick is my guest. Sam, are you kicking it poolside?
Romy, what's up, my guy? I'm not poolside today. We're getting the job done. Practice is coming up quickly, so I'm about to jump on a little shuttle bus here in a few minutes and go check in with the Heat first, see how they're feeling, and then Lakers after that.
We're talking about practice, Sam? Practice? All right. So really quickly, you talked about the Heat and how they might be feeling. They jumped out to a 13-point lead in the first quarter. At that point, what kind of thoughts were you having last night?
So it's funny. I was a little bit guilty of, you know, you're watching the game, and you can't ever not watch the game with the seats as good as they are here for the media. So I'm about 10 feet away from the court. I'm across from the Heat bench. And, you know, you certainly get your attention, but I was kind of just getting into the game, and you look up, and it's like, my gosh, it's 25-12, and they're on their way. I even tweeted something about just, you know, the early hot start, and then it just fell apart. So it's funny. I got a text from my good friend and Lakers beat writer, Bill Oram, during that time, and Bill was just like, you know, that's the first time he had thought about how maybe the Lakers could lose. Who knows, you know, and it was a hell of a start for Miami, but obviously didn't last very long.
No, it did not. Sam Amick joining us. So they come out of that timeout after they fell behind by 13, and then that thing flipped. Obviously, the injuries to Miami were a big part of this. But what about, Sam, LA's size? How much is LA's size bothering Miami?
I think it's a major, major problem for the Heat. And also, it's the size combined with we might have been, you know, kind of sleeping on the experience factor. Because if you look at an AD, you know, a guy, okay, he's never been to the finals, but he's significantly older than Bam Adebayo and has more playoff experience. You know, certainly that's the case for Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee. And the size combined with the experience against the Heat, I think, is a problem. And Bam was having a hard time, got in foul trouble. Obviously injuries like crazy. But the bodies the Lakers can throw at the Heat, not only with, you know, Bam and on the bigs, but it's with Jimmy Butler and the wing perimeter defenders that the Lakers have too. And whether it's LeBron deciding he's going to jump on Jimmy, which did happen, or a Danny Green or a KCP. You know, they have options. And obviously in game one, it was incredibly one-sided.
We're talking to Sam Amick. Now, if Goran Dragic has got that plantar tear and Bam's got a shoulder strain and Jimmy Butler's got that sprained ankle, did that series officially end before the first game ended?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that's how it felt last night. And we'll see. You know what I mean? Like, these playoffs have had all sorts of moments where you thought you had a series pegged and it went the other way. But, I mean, you know, yeah, I went in, I think I predicted Lakers in seven. I was giving the Heat all kinds of love. And I know what got my attention a little bit is the analytics community loved the Heat. And, you know, and I always try to pay attention to that a little bit. So, but it just looked like, I don't know how the Heat solved this. It looked like, you know, two teams on very different levels. And then the injuries, you know, Jimmy's fantastic. He's had an incredible run leading this team to this final stage. But, you know, I don't even know if even LeBron himself, if he was on the other team, could pull off this kind of a thing with your guys down like the Heat guys might be. Now, it sounds like Goran is feeling a little bit better today, and maybe he can get back in this series. You know, that would be big, because without him, I mean, that's their leading scorer and a guy who's incredibly important.
Sam Amick, senior NBA writer for The Athletic, is joining us. Sam, you had Jeannie Buss on the Tampering podcast earlier this week. I want to get into some of the details, but overall, the last year and a half has been an absolute roller coaster. What did she make of everything that has happened in the past 18 months?
I mean, it's tough to even describe what she made of it all because, you know, as you know, Jim, so much of it was, like I wrote, it was joy, sadness, everything in between. She still, if I'm being honest, is somebody who's known her for quite a while now. You can tell that she's still hurting, still processing, still grieving when it comes to Kobe, when it comes to her mother passing away, David Stern passing away. You know, then you have the other stressful situations, the China, Hong Kong situation in last October, where the Lakers obviously were playing those preseason games, were in the middle of that kind of geopolitical storm. You've got the work stoppage because of the virus and this team with a guy in LeBron, you know, at the tail end of his career with a lot on the line basketball-wise and then trying to get this thing over the finish line. But, I mean, she seemed like she was in a pretty good place. Certainly she was enjoying, you know, her beloved franchise getting back here for the first time in a decade. And, you know, it seems like they've figured a lot of things out. They've had issues galore. The last couple of years, we talked at length, as you know, about their front office dysfunction and how some of that appears to have been improved. You know, the backstory and history with her brother, Jim Buss, and that tough decision to part ways with him, bring in Magic. The Magic thing falls apart. I mean, the twists and turns in the past 18 months, going back to April 2019, it's just wild to me that they found a way to get from there to here.
We're talking to Sam Amick. I was going to ask you about that, Sam, but you just touched on that. It's amazing, right? When you go back to last April and all the things that happened to that franchise and the fact that they were able to turn it all around and they're right here really is amazing. I would say to you, how could they do that? Part of that, of course, is a healthy LeBron. Danny Green had this great comment, quote, "This guy's the greatest player in the GD world," end of quote. Like, how would you describe where LeBron is right now with his game, with his life, really his entire journey?
No, he's in a fantastic place. And what's counterintuitive about this playoff run for him is he's had some magical nights, but, you know, the consistency has not always been there. And for him, the bar is so high that he still puts together an incredible line. But, man, in game five against Denver, he reminded us of who he is as a player, and he was just dominant. And the Nuggets just had nothing when it comes to countering that kind of force and that kind of competition. As a person, he seems to be in a very good place. He's, you know, in this bubble environment where mental health has been a topic, has been an issue, it seems, you know, only he truly knows, but it seems like he's really kind of sailed through it. His wife, Savannah, came out for a while, but, you know, he's dealing with his own kind of being apart from the kids and being focused on the game, but it seems like he just locked in and decided, I think because he knows what's at stake and he knows these opportunities, you know, are to be cherished, that was what he needed to do. And the job's not done yet, but he's done it. And not only for himself, but, I mean, his leadership on this Lakers team has been impressive. You know, the way that he moves with Anthony Davis, the relationship that they have built that is very different from a Kyrie Irving relationship, even different from a D-Wade dynamic. You know, his brother that that obviously he's incredibly close with. This AD thing is a big brother, little brother thing that that has been at the center of their success.
So, Sam, if he finishes this, what would another NBA championship mean to LeBron, and what would it mean in the overall picture of his career?
I think it's significant. You know, we thought once he won in Cleveland that it was kind of that mic drop of there's nothing else he needed to do. Now, sure, if you want to get into the greatest of all time debate, you want to talk about Michael, you can keep talking about the nuance of that short list conversation. But this one, if you talk about winning a championship with a third franchise, but more importantly, and you've been West Coast based for so long, you know this better than anybody, like the narrative for his whole career was that he was skating by in the East. And, you know, oh, if he came West, he'd get smacked around a little bit. And, I mean, it took him 2 years, you know, one bad year, and then here he is at the top of the Western Conference and, you know, looking like he's going to be able to get another trophy, another ring. I think it would be big. You know, four obviously is a significant number when it comes to championships, but, you know, the 10 finals thing that gets him into extremely rarefied air in terms of players who have been to 10 finals, he just continues to elevate that resume.
Sam Amick, my guest, really quickly, Sam, before you jump on that bus because you brought it up, like, where do you come out on that greatest of all time debate?
You know, I don't know if it's a product of being a kid of the 80s. I have a hard time cutting through, you know, the Michael dominance and the perfection of Michael's championship resume. It's, you know, and that it's not as simple as 6-0, because for one, again, I just mentioned LeBron getting there 10 times. That is definitely worth something. But, you know, I think it's a Michael-LeBron, you know, discussion. I think that it's something that we're going to keep talking about. But I don't know. You can never win in that chat. And he's in the conversation, and it's a legitimate thing. A couple of years ago, it felt like it was forced. It felt like, you know, TV producers were trying to create content by kind of inserting him into the conversation. But, you know, he's very much in it.
Well said. Sam Amick, senior NBA writer for The Athletic, also the host of the Tampering Podcast, on his way to cover the Heat. Sam, appreciate you. Great to have you back. Thanks so much.
You got it, Romy. Thanks, man. Be good.
Have a great day. Be good. I posed the question to Mark Madsen, the Mad Dog. And the reason, like, I posed it to Sam because I care what Sam thinks. And I posed it to the Mad Dog because not only do I care what he thinks, Mark Madsen played with Kobe, coached Kobe, played with Shaq, played against Mike, coached LeBron. The Mad Dog's the middle of this whole thing. So I put the question to him on our podcast, and I thought his reaction was really interesting. And I'll have that for you, too. All right, so top of the hour, Manny Diaz joins us. We talk Miami Hurricane football. I've got an open segment right now. Also, some reaction. Josh in Inglewood. I'll get that in a minute. Reaction to Matt in LA getting run for what he said. All right, stay with it. Short timeout, and in that short timeout, you will get a short sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. All right, so let me reset you on a couple of things. I still want to talk about the MLB postseason, which is underway. The fact that the Twins are already out. The Astros are going full heel, which I kind of like. Dodgers don't have their best game, but they win. Padres have a tough game. We've talked at length about the NBA Finals. But, of course, I know you clones better than you clones know yourselves. And I know you really don't give a damn about any of that. No, you want to talk about Matt. And the fact that, not that Matt got run, but that Matt got run for what Matt said. If you missed it, in part, try not to screw this up. I know I'm asking a lot of you. Game on. Or to quote Ritt when the show started this morning, ball game. Still can't figure out what the hell that means. Matt in LA came on, and you never know how Matt is going to start his call, but he'll always start his call with something. And I let it go, and then it kind of retroactively, like there was a delay or something, but I started to think, wait, did he say what I think he just said? And the answer was yes. Matt in L.A. started his call by saying this.
Like two hands on a double D rack. Your boy Matt in L.A.'s feeling it.
Like two hands on a double D rack. Pause for emphasis. Your boy Matt in L.A. is feeling it.
Like two hands on a double D rack. Your boy Matt in L.A. is feeling
all kinds of wrong, Matt. All kinds of wrong. So very wrong, Matt. Even for you. So here's some reaction. Josh in Inglewood tweets, that Matt in L.A. call was hilarious. Hands on a double D rack? I'm dying. Jeff in SoCal tweets, how proud of that double D comment was Matt? Bill tweets, brah, I was waiting for you to catch that entrance. Like two hands on a double D rack? Yikes. Now, I know, probably, Bill, you were like a lot of people saying, damn, Rome, really? That's all right. That's okay? You're going to allow that. If you're going to allow that, what else will you allow? Yeah, better late than never. I got it. I got it, just not right when he said it. At Street Girl Fan tweets, war like two hands on a double D rack.
Like two hands on a double D rack.
I'm feeling it.
Your boy Matt in L.A. is feeling it.
Now check that. My boy Matt in L.A. is feeling it. But that's not why I called. Oh, no, that is exactly why you called, Matt. You should have just hung up right then, because that is the reason you called. 1-800-636-8686. Talking about reaction. We're talking about reaction. The ultimate reaction, because the ultimate caller out of nowhere is showing up. He is a five-time Smack-Off champ. He is the GOAT. He is the B-I-C. Brad in Corona. Brad, what's going on?
Timmy Crack Corn Cob Pipe Rome. Thank you for the fine. Like having one hand on my trouser snake and the other one on my plumbing snake. You're about to see all kinds of nuts and corn and possibly a hair clog come up out this bitch from your boy B.I.C. Jimmy, unfortunately, the only double D's Matt in L.A.'s ever had his hands on were his own big old flabby Dodger-loving boobies, Jim.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Bradley. The only double D's that Matt has ever had his hands on are his Dodger-loving boobies. Notice I didn't let that one sink in, Brad. Notice there was no delay in that. Now, that got run right when it came out. The thing I love about the BIC, pretty much everything, but you never know when Brad's going to call. I never know when the champ, the five-time champ, the GOAT, the best to ever do it is going to call. You just never know. I guess I probably should know that if Matt is going to make a call like that, that Brad would follow not long thereafter. But knowing Brad, Brad's got a successful career. He's got a great life. I don't know. I don't know what he's listening to, what he's hearing. But then again, if Matt is going to make that call, if Brad's not listening, it's going to find its way back to Brad soon enough. And it did.
Unfortunately, the only double D's Matt in L.A.'s ever had his hands on were his own big old flabby Dodger-loving boobies, Jim.
I forgot flabby. You don't like that. Big old flabby Dodger-loving boobies. This dude. Bradford. The BIC. No. You don't need to rock that call. He's fine. Anybody else? 1-800-636-8686 if you do not want to call. Hey, I don't blame you. You don't want to follow that guy. Even if that guy got run. The last guy you want to follow is the BIC. So if you don't want to do that, you can certainly hit me up on Twitter. You can find me on social media. Who do you have tonight? Jets or Broncos? Last I checked, that was a one-point game, and the Jets were favored. Conor McGregor wants to fight. That's fine. That's good. That's generally a pretty good thing, depending on whom he wants to fight. And then it's not the best thing. The Mad Dog, Mark Madsen, episode 145 of the Jim Rome Podcast. Yeah! Really good episode. That's coming up too. And I want to preview that. He had some really interesting things to say. And as I mentioned to Sam Amick, we got into who's the GOAT. So Mad Dog, when he came up with the LA Lakers and was taken by them, he played with Kobe and Shaq. He played at a time when MJ was still playing. He coached LeBron. Like, the Mad Dog is right in the middle of this whole thing. So I said to him, who do you think is the GOAT? And his answer surprised me a little bit, actually. I was about to say, given how close he is to the particulars, his answer surprised me a little bit. But I don't want to give that up just yet. We had DeForest Buckner on. The Colts defense looks great right now. And again, all you want to talk about is Matt and now Brad. At WolfNathan49, BIC has me freaking rolling after that gem. Dude is so good. War the BIC. He's the GOAT. He's the best to ever do it. Like, we can have a conversation about who's in that conversation. We can have a conversation about who is in that conversation. But Brad's the GOAT. The conversation about who's in that conversation would include Lef, would include the Cablanation, Mike and Indy, as bitter as Mike and Indy is. Lef's got three. Cablanation's got five. Brad's got five. I mean, the real combination is the big three. Those three. And Lef has done a lot of damage quickly. But then again, so has Brad. Brad's got those five in a little bit over a decade. Brad's first call to this show was in 2009. Like, Brad's not one of those guys who called the Scrub Saturday show. Brad's not one of those guys who was calling right when we became syndicated. Brad is actually fairly late to this party. Given that he's better than anybody who's ever done it, he's pretty late to the party. But I knew when he made this call, this was not his first Smackoff winning call. This was his first ever call to this show.
Jay, I wanted to hit on the NBA Finals for a
Hold on, Rit. I knew when this guy made this call to this show, it would not be the last, and we would get more of the same, and he would only get better and better and better and more dangerous.
Jay, I wanted to hit on the NBA Finals for a bit. I want to talk about Kobe or KG or PP. I only want to talk about the abundance of oil on Doc Rivers' nose and forehead. Hey, Doc, you're not supposed to sweat more than your players when all you do for 48 minutes is sit on the sidelines yelling out, "That's a foul!" Romy, be honest. Have you ever seen a face that oily before? I mean, it's no wonder oil's trading at $133 a barrel. Doc's been hoarding it all on his face for the past 2 months. George Bush wants to send troops to occupy Doc Rivers' nose. Hey, when this thing's all over, Romy, and the Lakers win the championship in seven, lose tonight by 20, maybe we could get a team of scientists to quarantine Mr. Rivers and determine how I can power my car from what comes off Doc's face every game. War Lakers in seven. War Phil Jackson playing all of the uncircumcised Euros in his lineup at the same time.
I don't know what surprised me more. The content of that phone call or how comfortable he was as a first-time caller delivering the content of that phone call. I think that when Doc got fired recently, didn't Brad tweet something to the effect of, "Sweat in peace, my friend. Sweat in peace." But I just knew. I mean, I've done this long enough to know that initially when a call like that is made, like a Jeff in Southfield or a Brad in Corona or somebody who sounds like or doesn't sound like anything I've ever heard before, you can immediately... Okay, who is that guy? Where did that guy come from? Where does that guy live? That's not going to be the last we hear of that guy. And sure enough, that guy went on to become the best to ever do it.
That is like the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Bill Ratka tweets. Now, that call from Brad and Corona was better than any Smack-Off winning call ever. Hashtag Dodger boobies. Actually, I think the hashtag officially would be flabby Dodger loving boobies.
Unfortunately, the only double D's Matt in L.A.'s ever had his hands on were his own big old flabby Dodger loving boobies, Jim.
I think this guy has a fair point here, too. Sam in Grand Rapids tweets, I can't believe that Brad didn't get run after the snake in each hand blast. It's fair. And again, I don't want to not take responsibility because the marquee's got my name on it. But if you look at where I sit and what I have in front of me, I've got a laptop and I've got a little console to my left. The console to my left has a dump button, but not a run button. I can dump a caller, but I cannot run a caller. The technology for that is on the other side of the glass. Ritt is an old man whose reflexes are slow. He doesn't hear very well, and he's got a really bad sense of what's funny and what's not.
All game.
So he let that snake blast go. So again, I need to own it because I'm all about what Jocko Willink would say, extreme ownership in one's life. I'm about that. It's on me ultimately. But having said that, Ritt's old. He doesn't see well. He doesn't hear well. And his sensibilities are jacked up. And Alvin would have run the snake blast. But Ritt didn't. Just saying.